Okay, so I'll say good morning again. It's great to see everybody here. So this week's parsha is Vayishlach. It's the Hebrew word for "and he sent," and it's also the first word of the parsha. So Parsha Vayishlach explores the themes of reconciliation, forgiveness, and the transformative power of encounters with the divine. The wrestling match serves as a metaphor for the internal struggles we all face on our spiritual journeys. And the reunion with Esau demonstrates the potential for healing and forgiveness within fractured relationships. The narrative, while poignant and challenging, ultimately reinforces the enduring resilience and growth of Jacob, setting the stage for the continued narrative of the Israelite people. And as the parsha begins, Jacob and his family have left Laban, and Jacob is fearful about his upcoming encounter with his brother Esau, especially upon learning that his brother has 400 men with him. After having been estranged from Esau for more than 20 years, Jacob is afraid Esau will seek revenge on him for stealing both his birthright and his father's blessings. The last time Jacob saw Esau, he was filled with rage, vowing to kill him for receiving the blessings which were meant for him. Yes, Jacob was frightened, but appears to have prepared well for this awesome meeting with his brother. In the end, Esau is appeased, and the meeting appeared more as two loving, long-lost brothers than that of mortal enemies. So in today's talk, I'll focus on the theme of forgiveness. And Jacob bowed to the ground seven times. He stopped seven times to bow low to the ground as he was approaching Esau, each time drawing closer until he reached his brother. Perhaps we can interpret these seven steps as reaching deep into his heart to rediscover the feeling of brotherliness and of compassion for and as compassion for his brother. Perhaps the seventh step symbolizes the days of the week, with the last step as Shabbat, a union with God. At that point, Jacob's sincere feelings penetrated Esau's heart and softened it. Esau ran toward him and kissed him and hugged him and falls on his neck and weeps. Was Esau able to perceive Jacob's remorse and Jacob's wanting to make reconciliation? Rashi maintains that when Esau saw his brother Jacob bowing down to him so profusely, his anger was softened and his compassion was aroused. Esau perceives Jacob as having courage, being remorseful and being vulnerable due to his limp, which he received after wrestling with the Ish, the angel, the man. Some interpret this scene as wrestling with himself, and after this wrestling, Jacob is transformed, forever changed, becoming Yisrael. And in that transformation, was he able to confront what he did and come to terms with it and accept it and show remorse to Esau? And since there were probably no mirrors during this time, Esau sees how old Jacob is, realizing that he must also be that old, and says to himself, "Enough is enough. I'm not going to hold this anger any longer." So they both forgive each other and go their separate ways. When one doesn't forgive, it is a cost to one's soul. One becomes a prisoner of their anger or hurt, stuck in the place of Mitzrayim. The act of forgiveness unknots the heart. The heart becomes clear, and a new road opens up in the journey of life. And one can forgive even if a person doesn't ask for forgiveness. The Christian theologian Louis B. Schmedes once said, "To forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that the prisoner was you." Rabbi Elie Shem Tov talks about forgiveness as It is often defined as a conscious, deliberate decision to release feelings of resentment or vengeance toward a person or group who has harmed you. But forgiveness doesn't mean that you need to become friends with that person or believe that what happened was okay. Instead, forgiveness means letting go of the negative feelings and finding peace of mind. Jack Kornfield says that forgiveness does not mean we condone what happened in the past. He goes on to explain that forgiveness is a deep process of the heart in having both the honor of grief, of being hurt and being hurt by someone, and the fear of facing that person. This deep work of the heart permits us to love and be free. Forgiveness is giving up all hope of changing the past. Rabbi Richard Address believes one of the messages of Jacob and Esau's reunion is the need to practice the art of forgiveness for all of us. We cannot change what was, but we can act in such a way today so that our lives are less burdened by the past. Perhaps it's more of a forgiveness via acceptance, an acceptance of the past and a commitment to move forward with a sense of liberation. Forgiveness takes courage and it takes a sense of faith in oneself to be able to liberate a soul from the change from the chains of previous actions. And our beloved meditation teacher Norman Fisher says at the bottom of every important conflict is a sense of love having been betrayed. Our meditation practice helps us in the process of forgiveness by allowing us to witness our heart, our hurt, or the hurt that we've inflicted on others, by just being whatever arises and noticing that hurt and letting go, or noticing what we feel about what our past actions and letting go of it. Our breathing in and out clears the path towards forgiveness by not avoiding what arises. And I'd like to end today's talk with some words from Rabbi Bradley Artson. He says, how do we have the audacity to stand in the presence of God? The same question might be leveled toward the paradox of standing in the presence of another human being. Each of us is a universe in miniature, replete with our own depths and eddies, our hidden doubts and fears and talents. None can ever know themselves, let alone claim to truly know another person. So how do we summon the nerve to address each other with intimacy and familiarity? Jacob's words are instructive. He presents his brother with a series of gifts and then says to Esau, "To see your face is like seeing the face of God. You have received me favorably." What a remarkable comment. Jacob compares greeting his brother with greeting God, argues that exchanging words with his brother is nothing less than revelation. What can we do with Jacob's shocking comparison? A starting point is to note that Jacob compares Esau to God not only by saying that seeing one is like seeing the other, a reminder that even on Esau's side, that even an Esau is made in God's image, but he also demonstrates that one serves them in the same way. As the Ramban notes, one brings gifts and sacrifices to worship God. And Jacob also brought gifts and offering to placate his aggrieved sibling. Perhaps what the Torah and the Ramban are pointing out is that we communicate best by not relying on superficial devices of words and thoughts, but rather by allowing our deepest parts to respond to the presence of the other. By approaching another person with reverence and warmth, sincere encountering them is like seeing the face of God. By showing our openness to their concerns and their fears, presenting offerings before exchanging words, we affirm the unique marvel of each individual. Just as God asks us not to be approached empty-handed, so too human beings should be approached with offerings of respect, affection, and marvel. Each human being offers a unique embodiment of the godly and the mysterious. We, like Jacob, can make that comparison explicit by training ourselves to encounter God in everyone we meet. May our meditation practice help us to open our hearts as we greet each other and the stranger and see God in each other and the stranger. So let's take a moment of silence.